5, 4, 3, 2.
Crank it, Jerry.
Welcome to Into the Wild, the official podcast of the Washington Wild Pigs.
What do you hear? What do you say?
It's the best sports podcast in the world. Wait, is that true?
If you're committed enough, you can make any story. I once convinced a woman that I was Kevin Costner, and it worked because I believed it.
Now, here's your host, Kyle Dawson.
Should you get the popcorn?
This is March, and boy, are we getting close to the 2024 Washington Wild Things season, the 22nd of Wild Things Baseball and the MLB-partnered Frontier League, the largest and longest-running independent baseball league in the country. This is Into the Wild, the official podcast of the Washington Wild Things, and we've reached Episode 3 of the pod. I'm Vice President of Baseball Operations and play-by-play voice of the Wild Things, Kyle Dawson, with you to have some more fun. Hardy, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to our friends who are tuned in to the podcast today, and welcome back, or welcome for the first time if you missed our first two episodes. If you did, you can always go back and watch those episodes on any podcast platform that you may be listening to or watching on, cataloged and archived on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, and much more, including YouTube and iHeart as well. That is where we are available, and video on the YouTube page, of course, as well. Appreciate you tuning in. Later in this episode, we'll go over some small notes with big dates coming up as we get ready for the 2024 season. But first, we're joined by Pittsburgh Penguin, two-time Stanley Cup champion and current analyst of the Penguins for Sportsnet Pittsburgh, Jay Caulfield, as well as his nephew and current Wild Things infielder, Tommy Caulfield. Jay, a right winger during his hockey playing career, which had stops in the junior hockey for the Milton Flyers of the OHAB, a stop at Hibbing Community College, a run with the University of North Dakota, where he also played football, and then the Rangers organization, the Minnesota North Stars organization, and then, of course, the Pittsburgh Penguins, where he played most of five seasons, including the 1991 and 92 Stanley Cup winning rosters. Tommy Caulfield arrived in Washington in June of 2023, made his professional debut June 14th against the Ottawa Titans, had a couple of big moments as a rookie, including walking off the Schaumburg Boomers July 2nd with an RBI double down the right field line.
First from Joyce. Swung on, line down the right field line, softly base hit. Broderick around third after DeBrule scores, and the rookie walks him off. Caulfield comes through, and the Wild Things walk off the Boomers.
In all last season, Caulfield, a Westchester, PA native, hit .245 with 26 runs batted in and three homers to go along with 13 doubles and two triples in 49 games. Tommy had stops in college at North Carolina, UNC Charlotte, and Millersville, where he enjoyed his most success in the collegiate game. Caulfield, a D2 CCA All-America second team selection, NCBWA All-America third team selection, and ABCA All-America third team selection in 2022 with Millersville. Also region player of the year that year, region first team, PSAC East athlete of the year, and East first team that season. He set the Millersville single season records for homers with 16, extra base hits with 40, and total bases with 155 while driving in 78 runs to lead the PSAC in 2023. He slashed .341, .432, .616 with 24 doubles, 10 home runs, and 54 RBI before coming to Washington, and of course is set to return here in 2024. Now on Into the Wild, our chat with Tommy and Jay Caulfield. Our guests for episode 3, Tommy and Jay Caulfield. You'll know Tommy's name. You probably know Jay's name too if you're from the Pittsburgh area and around Washington. Jay, a former Pittsburgh Penguin player, member of the Stanley Cup championship teams in the 90s, also current analyst for Sportsnet Pittsburgh, among the other names that Sportsnet Pittsburgh has had. And Tommy, current Washington Wild Thing, entering his second season with the ball club here in 2024. Guys, thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Want to start with Jay. How interesting is it to watch your nephew kind of get into the pro ball game and kind of follow a little bit in your footsteps in terms of being a professional athlete?
Yeah, I think it's outstanding. I mean, he had a chance to watch him play. We went to a number of games, and first of all, it's a great experience to go to a Wild Things game. I mean, the atmosphere, everything that goes with it is outstanding. I think I can appreciate the hard work that goes in what every athlete has to do to be there and play whatever level you're at, that you start at, that you have to work yourself up out of. And to see Thomas be a part of that and what he's doing and what he did through his high school and all the amateur stuff that he had done and then college, it's great to see him get rewarded and get an opportunity and with the Wild Things. So we've really enjoyed it and very happy for him.
Tommy, kind of going along the same lines there. Obviously, you grew up knowing what Uncle Jay did with the Penguins and as a professional athlete. I mean, granted, every kid kind of has that dream to be a pro athlete, but what was your kind of upbringing into professional baseball and into the game?
Yeah, I mean, the upbringing to my game was definitely my dad. I mean, growing up watching him play at right down the street. I mean, literally 3 minutes down the street in the Westchester Adult Baseball League. I grew up going to those games. I think that's really where my love for the game kind of grew. Obviously my older brother, Eddie, he's been in baseball with my dad and going to those games too, and being a manager for our high school team. And I've always kind of baseball was always there. And obviously my Uncle Jay was a big professional hockey player. So I wanted to take my route, I guess, play baseball. I think my dad kind of veered me away from playing hockey. I played it here and there, but baseball was, I was definitely better at baseball for sure.
For sure. Well, I want to hear more about that. Then, if your dad's trying you away from hockey, what is it? The hits? Is it the physicality? What was it?
I mean, I guess it was just the. I don't know. Honestly, I
probably more the availability, right, Tom?
It's
probably
Yeah.
Like we watched Tom play basketball too, and in high school, and I think when guys have that ability to play multiple sports and very good at it, his dad was good at.
Yeah,
a number of sports as well. We grew up in the football, baseball world, you know, when we were kids in Philly, outside of Philly. So that's what we grew up with. And I think probably hockey is such a tough thing. But now, as we all know, hockey across Pennsylvania has been outstanding in how it's grown. And probably just the availability to get on an ice surface and things like that. That might have been a part of it to throw Tom towards playing baseball, but I think he would have been an outstanding hockey player too. He's a good, great mentality for it.
Yeah, and my friends were big on playing roller hockey and some concrete rinks, but that's about it. Yeah,
the farthest I'd ever made it would have been we played street hockey as kids out in like the cul-de-sac, or played a little deck hockey. I was not very good. I had a decent.
I didn't mind the hits though. That's kind of, I don't know. I didn't mind the physicality part.
Yeah, I don't think knowing what I know of you, I don't think you would have minded that at all. Jay, I want to jump back with you and kind of go over the same process. Obviously, a different time era in terms of coming up in sports, but you made your way up through the amateur ranks, played a couple seasons before you got to the Penguins. Kind of just take us through your journey up to the Penguins and the NHL.
Yeah, mine was such a different route, but he said, hey, basically, Tom's father, my brother, he's the one that really got our hockey program started in high school. We started a high school program, and as we all know, there was few and far between. We grew up starting to do that, and I went off and went up to play a year junior in Canada. Then I went to school. I knew I needed to go to college, so I ended up playing in Minnesota first and hitting Minnesota Junior College, and then played football as well. And I got a scholarship to play football, and I went to the University of North Dakota because they would give me a chance to skate as well, where other schools like the University of Minnesota, that wouldn't have happened. But North Dakota did. I went there on a football, full ride for football. And how it ended up happening with injuries, whatever I had, I ended up not able to play football anymore and went into the game of hockey, where North Dakota really, really owe them a lot. They honored the idea to let me try and skate. And I did that. I just went and skated and graduated. And next thing you know, I was skating with pro players in the summertime. That's why I appreciate the hard work that everybody's doing at every level of the game. But I've skated with all the pro players the summer I graduated, and next you know, I get a call to be a free agent for a free agent tryout in New York with the New York Rangers. And Craig Patrick was the general manager. I went out there for a couple of weeks, and they ended up signing me to my first professional contract after a couple of weeks of camp. So I can appreciate the what goes into it to be at any level, to maintain it, to stay there, to be successful at it. And that's how I evolved. So from New York, ended up for two seasons in with Minnesota North Stars organization. Then I got picked up by the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it was perfect timing, right? So they didn't make the playoffs the year before I came here, and it was 1988. So had 1 year where we were in the playoffs, they didn't make it. Then the Stanley Cups came after that. So it was perfect timing, great to be a part of it. But you realize how – I think you realize how, you know, you got to keep doing all the work to maintain, just to be there and try and improve and get it. And I watch it. That's why I truly enjoyed watching the Wild Things games, because you realize how each guy, each player know what Tom's going through, what you got to put into it. Even yourself, the work that goes in to have that all run and make things happen at the building and the stadium, there's a lot to it. So I apply that from what you do business-wise to sports-wise. And that's how I went about mine. But my time in Pittsburgh was outstanding. We've stayed here. Yeah. My wife, she's an attorney, CPA. We run our businesses out of here. We have our two girls that grew up here. Love the city, love the area, and glad I'm still in the state of Pennsylvania because I've really enjoyed it.
What do you remember about those, if I can harken back to the 91 and 92 seasons, about those Stanley Cup teams?
Great. A mix of everything. The superstar talent, the role players, but the superstars were – they were some of the best to ever play the game, but they were also great teammates. They were appreciative of whatever role somebody did. They always let them know, this helps us along the way. A tight-knit group, and I think you need that when you're going to win. Everybody's together. So I found it just – but the superstar talent that was on the team, that was – they were unassuming, though. They weren't – there was no attitude. And there are seven Hall of Famers that were on those teams. So just great, great players, great city. I can remember playing games, though. I will tell you this. I can remember one of the first playoff games we played, it was against the Flyers and in Civic Arena. And I've never been in anything louder than that. And what it's like to play against the Flyers in the NHL playoffs or Stanley Cup playoffs, there's not a better feeling as an athlete or a player and how you feel when you're a part of it. So I just like it. I think this area, guys, is – it's hard-nosed. They like hard work. They like guys that give up 100% every time they step on the field. That's why I appreciate it. When I watch Tom play, that's what he's got to give, and that's what he does do. So, and so do the other players that are there trying to make their way to another level. And this city appreciates that. So that's what I know, and still close with a number of guys today that we're golf buddies. We hang out, you know, so it's pretty wild how long it's been, but it's great to be a part of it. And then still carrying it through with what I'm able to do, lucky enough to do what I'm doing now. And I enjoy that. But the great talent that's come through has been, you know, spectacular. And I'm certainly glad they set up to have a minor league team here near the city of Pittsburgh. And it's great, great talent to watch.
The one other big thing I wanted to be sure we talked with you about when we found out Tommy said you'd jump on with us here on the podcast. Jaromir Jagr had his jersey retired. Couple weeks ago at this point as we record, how special was that night to be a part of as a guy? I mean, you were with him very, very early in his career in those first couple of years.
In fact, we skated together when he first came in the city of Pittsburgh, and we skated together at a rink out up in Monroeville, in fact. So skated up there his first times in Pittsburgh. We went and did our work. He was great because we had that Friday night event that was at the Rivers Casino where we had a little sit down. Kevin Stevens was a part of it. Jagr, Phil Bork. So all of us were up there and had like a little round table talk on Friday night. We all had a great team dinner on Saturday night at Ala Familia. And then the big event on Sunday, which I think the Penguins did a first class outstanding job for Jagr, and everybody truly appreciated. I know he appreciated it. He was an 18-year-old kid that came here and all he knew was winning. And you know, that's again, great world-class talent that came here at a young age and won two cups immediately and understood how and learned from some of the best players to ever play the game, as we talked about. So, but what a great, he truly cherished it. I think he was, I think he was taken back by the moment of what it was and that he was getting honored because he didn't think it would happen because of, you know, as we know, he went to Philly, went to a lot of different places. And once you go to Philly out of Pittsburgh, Tom, that's a bad, it's a bad move, right? But I think the fans forgave him and he had a wonderful time.
Good. Tommy, let's go back with you here. You obviously played, you know, well in high school. You end up at North Carolina. Take us through kind of that journey of college. You go to North Carolina, ended up at Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, and then obviously the finished up in college at Millersville.
Yeah, I mean, UNC, I was grateful to play there, grateful to get recruited to there. You know, any high schooler, I think, might, you know, all the schools that have recruited me, you might want to take the best one, I think, and what could bring you to the next level. I thought UNC was great, and I wanted to go there and get better and learn from all the players, the coaches and stuff like that. And I'm not going to say, you know, like, because I transferred, it wasn't the right decision. It obviously was the right decision for me. I wanted to go there, and I wanted to play there. I just don't think it it was tough. I didn't see myself going to be, you know, a player there every day. I kind of saw myself as a role player. That's what I was there. And I enjoyed that. And I loved being there, being able to learn from all the great players that were there and the great coaches that were there. Being Mike Fox, he was great. Coach Forbes, Coach Weirs were all great. And and then I transferred to Charlotte, committed there. I committed there to before COVID, kind of, you know, that was a tough little transition, I guess. You know, a lot of guys transferred to Charlotte from big time schools, didn't get my shot there, and ended up at Millersville, which is my second home. That place is great. Coach Sheehan took me in and let me be myself, let me do my thing while also taking in the Millersville Marauders kind of way of playing and way of going about things. And I learned so much from all the schools that I was at, but Millersville really took me in and made me feel like I was at home. And their way of playing is the same exact way the Wild Things is of playing, with wanting to win. Coach Ian wants to win at Millersville, and Tom here wants to win with the Wild Things. So it's been a perfect transition from Millersville to pro ball here. And I'm glad I'm here now.
It wasn't too long either before Tom came a call in and kind of the connection was made. I know we had conversations even before you officially signed and sent the contract. I mean, just talk about that process as to getting a pro contract and coming out here.
Yeah. So with, I mean, the draft the year prior, I had a great year at Millersville, first year at Millersville, and the draft didn't go as well. And that was tough. So I went back to Millersville, had another pretty good year. And then I didn't want to wait around for the draft. I didn't think anything was going to happen because the year before it, nothing happened. So my coach at Millersville set some things up with Tom. I know they were talking a good bit. And this was on the bus ride home from Cary in our D2 championship run. And he was like, "Hey, man, what do you think about going to play here?" And I, obviously, at first, I'm thinking Washington, like, oh, yeah, D.C., that seems like a great place to play. And obviously, that's talking about a different Washington. I found that out on the bus ride home. So I'm thinking, all right, I got to do some work, got to look some stuff up. And I think it was maybe 3 days after, maybe a little bit after, Tom had called me, and I was on the golf course with some of my Millersville buddies that had finished their college playing careers, and I was telling them, like, "Hey, I'll play. I want to go here, and I want to play it. And I've read some good things about you guys." But yeah, the whole process from Millersville and how my season ended there, great season, tough. We didn't make it all the way to the championship and win, but nobody feels good after that. But it definitely felt good that somebody like Tom and you guys wanted to take a shot on me. So I was very grateful for that. And I was all on board as soon as I had that phone call with Tom.
The transition for you, I feel like, I know the parents were excited. Tom talking to me in the parking lot, he said, "Oh, I talked to the Caulfields for 20 minutes in the parking lot, you know, have a good conversation." Just what was the transition like once you finally got here to having the family involved and being able to come and watch and play and everything?
The transition was great. I mean, everybody was so helping. Like Tom, he wanted me to thrive. I know he was hard on me in the beginning, and obviously, rightfully so. Like any young player coming out of college, you got to learn the ropes and stuff. So Tom was great. Witt was great with hitting and fielding. And everybody, it seemed like another family, like how Millersville was. And it was great being welcomed by you, Stephanie, and all of the interns. It felt like one big family, even all the players. And and everybody has seriously been great.
Yeah, pretty big moment early on in your career, first couple weeks, that the walk-off against Schaumburg. Walk the people through that moment. I'm sure you remember that.
I guess you only look at a lot of guys look at the last at-bat, the last highlight, but I was also 0 for 4 that game with 4 Ks, I think it was, 3 Ks. But we all have games like that, and I – coming up to the plate in that situation, those at bats, they don't. I never taken a previous at bat into my next, and those situations, I love being in those situations, the clutch moments, wanted to end games, wanted to put our team ahead, and you know, whatever inning it is, I love those moments. So any player that wants to win is putting their past at bats away and just focusing on the moment and wanting to win for the team. So, I mean, that was a really cool experience.
Is that a kind of mentality, and Tom and I have talked about this, kind of a mentality that you carry across the board, whether that's an error in the field or a bad at-bat per se at the plate, and you kind of just wash that away and move on to the next thing?
Yeah, that's exactly my mindset with everything in the field. Up of the bat, you know, even on the bases, making a mistake, I always want to learn from anybody that's willing to tell me. But yeah, that's kind of my mindset. It's just kind of moving on from the next, even great at bats. You don't want to think about those, like, oh, going into this at bat, you want to focus on your approach and your swing and everything.
Jay, I'm curious. I know you were down here a couple times to watch the team. I'm curious as to Tommy's parents' reaction and kind of what their mindset is and yours and the family sitting in the stands just watching things happen.
Yeah, I think it's a – yeah, I think, well, Tom's dad, he's been the biggest fan for me too, but he's always wanted and tried to make sure his boys had the best. And I think being in the stands with him – you know, Ed kind of does his own thing. Tom's that Ed. He just he kind of makes himself friendly with everybody that's around the building. Before you know it, he knows everybody, and you're getting a beer handed to you here and there. I think it's a great, honest to God, I think I walk up and you meet every guard. And right, yeah. Tom, I mean, I Alicia and I, my wife Alicia and I, we're up there with our daughters. And, you know, as I said before, I think it's a wonderful experience. But I think to see your parent, if you're to watch your son or daughter play a sport professionally and they make it to this level, which is, there's no easy ride, there's no easy ticket, it's hard, it's tough, it's a tough business. And I think when you get there and you're on the field to watch you play, I'm sure the joy from his mom and dad, and I know his dad especially, very proud, you just want to see him succeed and do his thing, and he's getting an opportunity there.
I know, I was telling people earlier, I don't know that I've ever met Ed, and that's what I know. I think I've seen Jay down there a couple times. Yeah. I don't make it out of my hole very, very often.
But right.
Every single story that I get is, oh, I was talking to Ed Caulfield earlier up on the stands and getting a beer. I think that's exactly the thing that I've heard, is that he just befriends everybody, and now everybody on the staff knows him, and other fans are always talking about him.
And he has been that way his whole life, right? I mean, so there's no airs about what he just goes around. He's personable that way, and he just does it. And I think he just and really enjoys watching the game, watching to see what's happening. Even when, if Tom's, if it was out of lineup or in a lineup or whatever, or when you're in baseball is a different sport anyway versus hockey or football. You know, you have an at bat or you're in the field and you're waiting. I think he appreciates talent. He appreciates when he sees great talent. And as I said before, there's a lot that goes into it to get to that position. So loves the game. And Thomas is taking up right up from there. And his brother Casey, you know, playing at Monmouth. I mean, they all feel the same way. And as we talked about Eddie, Thomas's older brother, they've all been involved in it. It's all because of his dad, of their dad.
For sure. I want to talk about, and maybe this is going a little deeper than maybe either of you expected. I want to know about young Tommy and what he was like growing up, if either of you can paint a picture.
Oh, man. I think I was a bit of a troublemaker. I think my parents might agree to that. But I loved playing all sports. I loved, like playing hockey, whether it was in my driveway or the roller rink that we would go to with my friends. I loved playing basketball, baseball, soccer. I loved soccer growing up. I loved soccer. But, growing up, young Tommy, I don't even really remember that much, to be honest. I feel like I'm kind of getting a little old for that. I don't know.
Well, I don't think his dad never said too many bad things, Tom. I mean, all I know is they drove all over the country for baseball or soccer, whatever it was. I talked to him. I go, where are you at now? Like, oh, we're in South Carolina. Then we're in Florida. I'm like, they did everything for us. So you're a good kid, Tom. You're a good kid. You weren't spoiled. You're a good kid. You had to work hard. Yeah. How about that?
Take that. I've tried this before, and I want the people that are listening or watching, I want the record to show that I have tried to convert Tommy to the Pittsburgh sports scene. Yes. It's not worked too well. I think I got a couple texts during the football season of the Eagles and against something negative about the Steelers. I don't know if you're a Penguin. I don't know what you do hockey wise. I don't think people would be too thrilled. Okay. I was going to say.
Definitely all Philly, everything else other than hockey. I can say that. Yeah.
I was going to say, because people won't be too thrilled here if they find out you're a Flyers fan, especially with Uncle Jay being a Penguin.
Yeah. Well, he'll learn, right? He'll learn. This is diehard, right? We know Philly is, we know that Pittsburgh, here we are. And it is the biggest, I find it to be the biggest rivalry in sports, right? So I'm going to say the Penguin Flyer thing, it's tough. Right. It's been a nasty business and a nasty world there. But Tom will learn. Any questions you start answering. Hey, I'm from Philly. I like the Phillies, but man, the Pirates, they're my team. Or you got to say the Steelers. You got to go with the Steelers, Tom. Right. You got to do that while you're here in town. And certainly we know he's Penguin. We know he's only going to be Penguins for us.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because the Steelers are a must here. You don't get, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it in Pittsburgh. If you're a football fan and not a Steelers fan, you get ridiculed and bullied over it.
Well, I can take that. I'm a fan. I'm sorry.
All good, Tom. All good.
Let's talk about on your way back. You're preparing for the second season here, your first full one in Washington. What kind of things are you working on, trying to improve upon, you know, anything like that that gets you ready to be a Wild thing again this year?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically since the season ended, I've been working. I worked with Tom, obviously, right after the season ended. We worked one-on-one with some things with my swing. Everybody has things to work on, and I always want to get better. So I know this past season, I've had some games where I just wish I never had, and I know I could have done better. So some things I've been working on is bat speed and obviously getting stronger. I've been hitting the weight room, and just now I'm starting to ramp up my lifting so I can peak right at the right time at season time and maintain that stuff throughout the season. But I've been working on a lot of things with my swing and a lot of things in the field too. Being a third baseman, that was new to me. So I'm doing all these drills that Wood has given to me, and Tom has trained with me both one-on-one, but taking that stuff and working on that stuff every day while also being a substitute teacher it's been pretty cool. But yeah, so that's my day, is waking up early, getting to school at 7:30, out by 2:15, hitting the gym and working on my game till 7 o'clock at night and getting home and going to sleep. I know my parents and Eddie aren't too fond of that, because as soon as I get home, I just want to go to bed. But yeah, that's about it. Yeah. I've been working on a lot of things. I'm real excited, actually. I some new things with my swing that I'm just now figuring out. I know a lot of people try to figure out their swing, and some things clicked as of recently. So I'm excited. I'm getting ramped up for it.
Something I think that's pretty important. I was just going to say one thing. I think what's an important part about being professional too is learning. Tom will learn, and all players learn how your life as a professional athlete now, what does that mean, and how do you prepare, and how do you stay hungry and sharp each and every night? Baseball is demanding. I think that's one thing everybody learns. You know, how do you handle yourself as a professional? And this is what I'm doing, and how do I keep myself ready to go? It's something that has to be learned for some guys, and that's in every sport. But I know Tom putting the time in and all that, but it's big. And you can learn from the guys, the veterans and all that, but
yeah,
that's what we all had to do. You come in, you're a rookie, and you have to learn that. You have to learn how to handle yourself as a pro, and I think you're doing that. And around, and having one-on-one time with your coach doesn't get much better than that. That's really great that he took the time to do it, and you stayed here to do it. But I think that's key. Learning as a professional, how do you handle yourself?
That was great working with Tom. That really felt like he, you know, he wanted me there. He wanted me to win with him and to help me get up to possibly the next level. But I know that when I come to, you know, the season with the Wild Things, that's all I want to do is focus on winning and performing well for the team.
That's definitely something Tom and I talked about that back on episode one. That we certainly want to get back to, right? At 47-49 is not the Wild Thing standard. That's not a Pittsburgh standard. We know the people in this city, they don't like anything but winning around here, and they tell you when you're not doing it. Talk about a little bit just in terms of trying to get into that mentality. Again, you weren't in the beginning part of the season where things were really south. Things got a lot better as it went along there last year, but getting back to that winning mentality and kind of going in every day saying, nope, you're not better than us and we're going to beat you today.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, learning throughout college, being with some great college teams, and obviously Millersville being a great Division II team, and growing up playing in high school, you know, you gotta want it, and you gotta have everybody else buying in. It can start from one person, you know, wanting to try to get everybody to rally around them, and that being Tom. I know Tom was not happy with this past season, and obviously I wasn't either, and that I wasn't really used to being on a team that was struggling, and you wanna do as much as you can, and maybe that kind of hurt me and my performance, and I think I just wanted to try to win so much that you know, losing is not the best thing, and you want to get everybody to buy in. So I think this year you got to have everybody buying in to win, and I think that's what everybody's trying to this upcoming year.
Seems like there's a pretty good group of guys just in terms of coming back, and there's some new guys obviously that'll be on the roster too, but guys that you're familiar with that I don't think that's a problem, and maybe I'm wrong, but I hope I'm not. But it seems like the guys we've got coming back are in that mentality.
Yeah, all the guys on the team, they wanted to win, and last year I know they wanted to win, and sometimes you just can't figure it out. You know, you want to win so bad, but you're not performing well, and sometimes you gotta try to, you know, figure it out as best you can. And I think this upcoming year we'll try our, you know, still try to win.
All right. Well, that is Tommy and Jay Caulfield. We appreciate them jumping on into the Wild here. And we hope to see, we'll see Tommy for sure, but we hope to see Jay down here a bunch this summer. And make sure if you listen to the podcast, make sure to stop by, say hi, interact with these guys, and appreciate the time, guys. And we'll have more on Into the Wild.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Kyle. Well,
really enjoyed it. Have a good one.
All right.
The Wild Things are looking for host families for the 2024 season. Host families welcome a player or players into their home for the season while the player chases their dreams. Hosting a player can provide a great experience for the empty nester or the growing family by putting a role model and professional baseball player in a home with children. Host families enjoy numerous benefits, including free tickets to games, an end-of-season on-field ceremony with gifts, and the opportunity to take part in a Meet the Team picnic before the season begins. For more information, visit WashingtonWildThings.com or call Vice President of Baseball Operations Kyle Dawson at 724-250-7654 to learn more about our host family program today. Wild Things Park and Wild Things Games are the perfect places to host your company outing, party, family get-together, birthday party, and more. Check out the Goosebumps Smart Tech and Solar Solutions Suite Level, the EQT Pavilion, and the Pepsi Party Deck, and hit a home run for your outing or party. Bring between 10 and 80 people to one of our luxury suites, 30 to 80 people on the party deck, or 20 to 300 people in the pavilion. Food and beverage options, including buffet-style packages, are available. Call our front office for more information at 866-456-WILD. That's 866-456-WILD. Are you planning a group outing with your friends, coworkers, or family members? A Wild Things game is an affordable and entertaining way to knock your next outing out of the park. Group rates for 10 or more tickets start at just $10 per ticket, with group accommodations of 10 to 3,200 people. Call our front office for more information at 866-456-WILD or go to WashingtonWildThings.com for more information. Become a bigger member of the Wild Things by joining our season ticket member family. With plans starting at $150, you can take your fandom to the next level. 13-game, 25-game, and full-season plans are available, giving you the right to pick your games, reserve your seats, and be here for the biggest nights of the 2024 season. Call our front office at 866-456-WILD or head to WashingtonWildThings.com for more information.
Back on Into the Wild with some quick organizational notes if you're following along and keeping track of the happenings. Since our last episode, our plans for the kids membership program in 2024 were announced. The kids membership program is back, which includes Kids Eat Free Sundays in the schedule. We'll give you in just a second. All kids 12 and under receive a free ticket and a kids meal that is a hot dog, chips, and a drink at every Sunday home game at Wild Things Park. There is a registration form available online. Be sure to point whoever it is, that whether you have kids 12 and under or family has kids 12 and under, or shout it from the streets, because why not? This program is that legit. There is a registration form available online at WashingtonWildThings.com under the community tab with more info there as well. And if you have registered or someone you know has registered their kids for the program in the past couple of seasons since this thing got started here in Washington, you do not have to re-register your children for the program. Only new registers need to be done. The rundown is as follows for Sundays here in the 2024 season. On May 12th, the Schaumburg Boomers in town. A special 1:35 p.m. start time. Gates open at 12:30. It is Prince and Princess Night on the first Sunday of the 2024 season, presented by Cohen Markets, with special guest appearances by Elsa, Anna, Kristoff, and Olaf. And the first 500 mothers get a single stem flower for Mother's Day. On May 26th, the Gateway Grizzlies come to Wild Things Park that weekend. It is Mascot-a-Palooza, presented by Eaton Park, with some of the best and most popular mascots in the region in attendance to help celebrate Wild Things' third Mascot-a-Palooza. Also, the first 250 kids through the gates that day receive a Wild Thing and Smiley activity book. I've seen them. They're pretty cool. You'll want to be here for that. June 9th is a game against the Joliet Slammers. By the way, all the games after May 12th on Sundays, 5:35 p.m. first pitch, 4:30 the gates open. On June 9th with the Joliet Slammers in town, Toy and Game Night returns, presented by Point Park University. Buzz Lightyear, Jesse, and Barbie will be at the ballpark for special appearances that day. On July 7th with the Windy City Thunderbolts in town, it is Superhero Night, presented by Chrome Federal Credit Union, with appearances by Spider-Man, Captain America, and Captain Marvel. They guest star on the special night at Wild Things Park, July 7th. The first 500 kids that night receive a Wild Things mascot bank. The July 28th game against the New York Boulders will be the next Sunday home game on the schedule after the July 7th date. It is Disney Night, presented by WCTPA, or in other words, visit Washington County Tourism. WCTPA sees Bluey and Bingo get in on the action at the stadium for Disney Night to round out the July home schedule. Two games in August. August 4th against the Sussex County Miners, it is Star Wars Night, presented by Signal Security of Central Pittsburgh. Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and Princess Leia enter the gates from a galaxy far, far away. Plus, all the usual for Star Wars Night, which, if you've been here in the past,
We do it right on Star Wars Night. On August 18th, against the Lake Erie Crushers, it is Harry Potter Night, presented by Fired Up Art Studio. Dumbledore, Professor McGonagall, and Luna Lovegood come to the stadium from Hogwarts for that contest. And on September 1st, the regular season schedule wraps up with a date with the Schaumburg Boomers. It is Halloween Night, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill. Wednesday, Enid and Morticia, if I'm saying that correctly, will be here for the spooktacular regular season finale on Halloween Night. The full promotional schedule will be released 1 week from this announced podcast, the release date of this podcast, which is Monday, March 11th. The schedule comes out March 18th and will be available on our social platforms, plus the team's website, WashingtonWildThings.com. You can also, in the meantime, expect an announcement on the return of the Coors Light Brew Crew program. That is scheduled for this week. And then the promo schedule gets released on March 18th. Single game tickets go on sale on April 2nd. It's coming quickly upon us. For now, though, that wraps another episode of Into the Wild. Another big thanks to Tommy and Jay Caulfield for jumping on the pod this episode. Be sure to leave a rating, review, and subscribe to the channels or follow them, whatever word they're using now. Smash that bell for new episode notifications, and we'll catch you next time with a guest who some would call a king on Into the Wild.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.